Welcome.
Welcome.
Here we are again.
Namaste.
We gonna start.
You say it at the end or the beginning?
You say, I think you say at the end.
Oh.
Well, not, hey, not y'all. The beginning.
Hey.
Well, Bria.
Here we are again.
How was your day?
Oh my gosh. How was my day? Oh, let me tell you. So my day was great. I was laying in the bed. Gonna not worry about class.
Right. Class was canceled. And then, but I was in class
listen,
when class got canceled. That's listen. My problem.
I get real convicted when I say I'm not going to class. So I got up at the last minute, scrambled, got all my clothes together, got all the way on the interstate, got off the interstate.
Right.
Walked to the door of the building.
Wait, so when did you find out class was canceled?
I had my hand on the doorknob.
Not that you had your hand on the doorknob.
When I got the call to say the class was canceled.
Who called you, Stephanie?
Dominique.
Yeah, because Dom was sitting right behind me.
This Negro here.
Look, that's Hampton, though.
He know.
It's not ghetto, it's not Hampton, so.
That was the start of my day. Right. How about you?
Well, I mean, I had the same day you had after 3 p.m., though. Mm-hmm. I picked up my check, a whole $87.
Cool.
That I worked hard for.
Cool.
And we went to.
You going to get you a Louis?
Look, me, Morgan, and Vaughn went to Mango.
I heard. Get,
who told you?
I heard.
The streets?
The streets be talking.
Nigga, who?
I was confused. I was like, do they know it's like 11 o'clock?
Wait,
they?
Did you look at my Snapchat?
No.
How'd you know I went to Mango?
I know everything. Day drinking.
Look, okay. So I got the email. Well, no, it was Steph that called me. She said, then she sent a text like, class is canceled. And I was like, I want alcohol. So let's go. But it was all right. I mean,
okay.
Histology class was cool, I guess. I don't know what's going on.
Oh,
but,
well, that makes two.
Right?
Hey, I have some good news. It's not really good.
What is it?
I just want to let the people know that our podcast is sponsored by absolutely no one. No one at all.
One day.
No one cares.
No one. Not at all. No one asked.
And that's fine.
But I do want to point out that we are in the second year.
Come on.
Of this program.
86.
And May 14th. 86. I have 87.
Uh-uh.
Is 86?
My calendar said 86 days.
Okay. So clearly I'm off. So graduation is upon us, and I could not be happier
okay.
to get the hell up out of Hampton, Virginia.
Toodaloo.
Look, Morgan said that her mom told her to just get the suitcase, walk across the stage with it so they could hit the road.
I told you what my parents said. I was trying to plan like a nice dinner, you know, for my family, and they were like, actually, you're going to walk across the stage, get in the car, and we're going to the airport.
Right.
There weren't.
Right. Nobody. Nope. Mm-mm. Nope. Right.
I won't be here.
Right. Well, I have to let you guys know who I'm appreciating this week, and it's Genuine.
Oh, God.
Right. You want to know something in class? Andrew brought up Genuine. I was like, what did you say? But I'm appreciating Genuine for just everything he's done for us. I think Genuine is one of the most underrated singers. No, don't make that face.
Let me give y'all a footnote because she stands for Genuine every week.
Every week.
Year.
I do.
Okay?
I appreciate actually, it's. Every week is Genuine Appreciation Week, but today in particular, something compelled me. He is just so underrated.
Mm-hmm.
And me and, like, my friends got into this argument about how D'Angelo was better than him.
That's
absolutely
a
not.
That's a stretch.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I don't think
he's good.
I think D'Angelo is good, but I don't think he was ever vocally on Genuine's level.
No.
I don't think.
I'm agreeing.
Oh, you're agreeing? Okay. Did you see my face?
Whoa.
But, yeah, I'm appreciating Genuine for everything he did for us in the 90s. Sorry, late 80s. Up until now.
Musty.
Because what does he remain? Consistent.
Musty.
I will.
Musty.
I will. He's amazing. And I think all his music, the production, I mean, Genuine is he's your favorite R&B singer.
Genuine, if you're listening.
He's your favorite
babe. I
would
love for you to come and into the studio.
His category, what he's done, like he's your favorite babe.
The studio.
Not a studio.
Okay, I'm sorry.
But I had to, I mean, enough said. I don't even have to go into it. Next time is Genuine Appreciation Week, I will.
Okay.
I'll start listing off facts.
Nay, give us the your number one top Genuine song.
No. My top Genuine song?
Mm-hmm. You can do a top three if you must.
So Anxious is number one.
Okay.
And I know it's pony for white folks, especially after Magic Mike.
Yeah.
But I had to remind them about 100% Genuine. I had to remind them.
Okay.
But So Anxious is definitely my number one.
That's a great one. Yep.
Number two, this is hard because I love all his music. Number two, I would say None of Your Friends' Business.
Okay.
And number three,
I would say. You're gonna be so mad when I tell you I've never heard that song.
Look. And number three, I would say Wait a Minute.
Okay.
And they all come off the same album, 100% Genuine, which I think is his greatest project to date.
Okay.
And
that's fair.
I mean, he's still making music, mm-hmm. but there's something about that 90s, that late 80s, early Genuine, late 90s, early 2000s Genuine mm-hmm. that's just, I mean, like no other. And his favorite artist is Prince. So, I mean, okay. I am Genuine and he is me. So,
and that's that.
That's that. So, okay. We're appreciating Genuine this week. I encourage everyone, do your homework. Go back in your iPods. Check your CDs. Check your 8-track. Genuine is there. And when we are discussing the greats, his name will come up. So that's it. I'm done standing for Genuine.
Okay. So this is not a stand.
Okay.
This is in no way a part of Appreciation Week because I just don't think that I could ever live up to
look
a nay stand. I just can't.
And that wasn't even a stand. I was like squatting.
Oh, this was in moderation.
Right.
Today.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
You know how I feel about Genuine.
But, okay, so I have this thing with one of our other friends, and we like to watch terrible Netflix movies.
Okay, have you seen Miami Tale? Trina starring.
Okay, No. These are like, okay, so by terrible, I mean low budget.
Yeah, Miami Tale's low budget.
I haven't seen that. I'll have to check that one out. So I'll have to ask Amber if she's seen that one. But, okay, so I have been in a deep Netflix hole lately, avoiding anything that even looks like schoolwork.
Okay.
And so I found this, I thought it was a movie, but it's actually a series, and it's called Juana Inez. And
wait, Inez from One on One?
No.
Okay.
No, Juana Inez. Okay, so she was a nun in the 17th century.
Okay.
And she was supposed to be, like, the most brilliant mind in all of Mexico.
Okay.
And she went into, like, the king of New Mexico's court, so which would be Mexico today. Because, like, it was a colony under Spanish rule at first. And so the wife of the king, I guess. She wasn't really the queen. I don't know what they call it. But the wife of the queen, like, fell in love with her. And it was just a mess. It was great or whatever. But the thing is, it's all in Spanish.
Oh, and so are you reading subtitles?
I'm reading subtitles. And sometimes the subtitles don't really, like, coincide with it. They just don't
make sense. Oh, so it's, like, moving too fast.
Yeah.
And, like, this subtitles about 3 seconds late, so it doesn't match the scene.
But it's so good from what I can tell.
Look, this don't sound like histology.
It does not.
And we got a whole exam next week.
Exactly. But it's so good. And if you're into, like, weird things on Netflix like that, definitely check it out. Juana Inez, J-U-A-N-A, Inez, I-N-E-S. Do some research, too, because I actually Wikipedia'd her. She was kind of like a boss.
Okay.
Like, she was just smart and knew everything about everything. But, yeah. So that's just a shout-out to Netflix for having interesting things for us to skip out on life with.
Okay, so who's winning while black for you?
Girl, okay, let me tell you. So I know that you shouted out some super awesome NFL players last episode.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go ahead and give out a side shout out to Martellus Bennett of the Patriots for being the quote of the day on Forbes last week.
Okay. Is he black?
Yeah, he's black.
Okay.
Yeah, he's pretty dope. But Nenea, this week we have got to get into DOCTOR Dr. Myron Roll, who is graduating.
Oh, I read that.
Yes,
I read that.
From Florida State University School of Medicine.
I read that.
For those of you who don't recognize him, he was rated by ESPN as the number one football recruit in the United States in 2006. In 2010, he was drafted by the Tennessee Titans. Shout out to Nashville, Tennessee. Okay, so I just have some other things to tell you about him. So, during his time in the NFL, he researched stem cells and started an anti-obesity program that the U.S. Department of the Interior actually adopted as one of their programs. Yeah, and it still goes on to this day. Well, I don't know if Trump has gotten rid of it yet, but when President Obama was president, it was a thing that we're doing.
Right.
He studied in Oxford and was a finalist for the Rhodes Scholarship.
Damn.
Yes. Just like so much excellence happening over there. And so now today, at 30 years old, he will be graduating with a degree in medicine. this spring. Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
That is amazing.
So he has done a lot. He is clearly Black and definitely, definitely winning.
I like that.
So congratulations to him. I'm proud.
That's amazing.
Isn't that an amazing story?
You know, I read that. Yeah. I read that because Tawana, who is also a Florida State alum,
yeah,
she posted that, and I was like, this is dope.
Yeah.
That's
what? When I read the article, he, like, was saying how he was playing football, but he didn't want people to just view him as a jock.
Right.
So he kept up his, you know, outside interests. And I think after he got, I think maybe he got cut from the Titans, and he decided to go into medicine, but it's not like he had to go into medicine.
He just wanted to.
He wanted to. He had offers at other teams to be picked up.
And me and Vaughn were having this conversation mm-hmm. about how we need more, especially in this day and age, mm-hmm. this time, mm-hmm. we need more Black people being interested in something besides sports and rapping mm-hmm. and the arts. We need Black people in medicine and in Congress and in all these different areas absolutely. That can affect change. And not to take away his talent in football, but there's so many spaces mm-hmm. that we are not in.
Absolutely. So representation matters.
Look, and for him just being a football player and understanding that mm-hmm. and being in medicine is just beyond dope to me. So
Beyond. So congratulations.
That's cool.
To
like
Dr.
That.
Myron Roll for being awesome.
Right. Okay, so
who you got?
Well, for Winning While Black, my shout out is you.
Me?
Yes, girl. I was hoping you wouldn't see my notes, but to my beautiful best friend, Bria, y'all, I want you guys to know that she got into med school 2 days ago. Oh. So it was you. It was you. And you worked so hard. I can't think of anybody who worked harder. And I just remember going through the process with you and us spending the summer together and, you know, not having the greatest experience, but still making something out of it and still pushing even when people told you yes. not to go. And yes. it's like you've always kind of had that resiliency, and I admire that about you. So,
oh,
you're Winning While Black this week.
Well, thanks, Nene.
So, you just go ahead and fuck it up. Are you serious?
Go ahead and fuck it up, Memphis. I cannot.
No, but yeah.
I feel like we should just take an aside right here because there were a lot of people who were telling us what we could and could not do. Like,
I don't want to drop any names of schools, but there's a school north of where we are
uh-huh.
that can go to hell.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say the name of the school, but how dare you, after 6 weeks, try to tell me what I'm capable of doing or what I'm not capable of
yeah.
doing. And use the premise that you know me.
You can't. You just cannot let people tell you who
at
you
all.
Can be and what you can do.
At
if
all.
You have a dream or you have something that you want to do,
can't nobody stand in front of that.
Go for it and see what happens. One of our favorites, Myleek, she put something on Instagram that I just love and always go back to. She says, if you have a dream, go for it and let the universe conspire to help you.
Absolutely.
Because it will.
Absolutely.
And it will. If you don't give up on you.
Look, I think, and when you called me, or when you texted me, I guess, and told me that you got in, that's all I could think about. Like, that summer was rough.
It was hard.
It was a rough summer. And being told that maybe med school, you should hold off. Nigga yeah. says who?
Yeah.
Not your ass.
Right. And I knew once I saw the kind of people they were interested in.
Exactly.
And that's fine.
And you just put the glue on a track because if you want, if that's who you want and that's who you're interested in,
mm-hmm.
then you can have that. And yeah. clearly this place is not for me. And I think what I took from that entire experience is, you know, that was my number one.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
And I really want to go there. And I'm glad I had that experience and I was able mm-hmm. to see maybe this place is not for me.
And that's the thing about it is mm-hmm. it's okay for a place not to be for you.
Yeah.
It's absolutely okay. You're not meant for everywhere and everywhere is not meant for you.
Yeah, I agree. So
that's just the truth.
I think that not that it's payback, but like when you, I'm glad you posted that on Facebook. I'm glad people in that program are following you on Facebook and are seeing that they're not the end all be all.
Yeah.
So yeah. it's just dope. And
we're going to be the same MD.
Look.
Okay.
Look.
Okay.
Except that yours is going, it's going to be cheaper. It's your home state.
Very much so.
Yeah. I'm not going to mention no names, but just know they're north
Aww.
From where we are.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, baby girl. All right. So let's get into it. Who reached this week?
Okay.
A couple people.
I have to.
A couple people.
I feel like shout out is such a positive word, and this is definitely not that. But let me tell you about the reachity, most reachity, reach.
Is shoulder dysplasia a thing?
Yeah, it is. I'm sure. But I don't know if you've been keeping up with
nigga, that's mine too. Yes.
Listen.
Okay, but I have a question accompanied with that. That's mine too. That's like the first bullet.
Shoot your shot.
Okay, now, first of all, I was with her. The emotional aspect, I've been there. But I think that I got out of it before it got that extreme.
Okay.
Some of the things I just couldn't get with. Some of the things I'm like, wait, at what point do you say, wait, when is the intensity of the disrespect? How does it get more intense than this?
Okay, because I was with her up until the point where she said, I walked in on him with another girl.
That's what I'm talking about.
And he dismissed me.
What I'm talking about. The disrespect was so intense. What I was asking, at what point do you say, I'm cute. I could find somebody else who wants me. I can kind of stop doing this.
I feel like that speaks to insecurities that she has in herself.
You really think so?
Yeah, because she wouldn't stay there if she didn't believe that she couldn't find. I mean, at that particular time, she wouldn't have stayed if she didn't think there was anything else better. Right. And I know she's talking about this is, you know, my best friend and this.
But okay, you want to know the problem?
He's
I have
not your
with,
best friend. He's treating you like that.
Okay, and that's the issue I have with women that are like, oh, you know, we're still friends, especially after such a bad, you know, breakup or the guy not treating her like a friend.
Yeah.
Hell, I don't believe you even like me, let alone, you know, try to be my friend. So that's the part that I don't really.
Right. So I think I had an issue with the concept behind the video, because at the end of the video, mind you, this lady did not look any more fulfilled. Satisfied.
Oh, you mean you don't think that there was any closure?
Happier. It didn't look like she had any closure.
Right.
Like he said, I'm sorry, but okay. Those are words. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I just don't think I agree with the idea of sitting down face to face with your ex to rehash all of the disgusting details of the end of your relationship.
But you know, and that was my question. Mm-hmm. That was actually a question I wanted to ask you. Is confronting your ex healthy? Is it something that's necessary, or do you think that no response is a response?
Let me tell you, I was in a relationship and it ended terribly. Not as bad as this, because this is just disrespectful. I mean,
a lot of people are even arguing that this was never even in a relationship.
Well, I don't know about the origins of that, but for instance, if it was real,
okay,
you know, it ended really badly for me and. I think that ignoring the existence of the other person, blocking them on social media, deleting their phone number, you know, moving on, getting rid of the pictures, all this junk that, you know, he or she may have given you, that helped me. That's all the closure that I need. Because let me tell you, imagine you're waiting on an apology from someone that may never come. So what do? Wait your whole life? Or do you pick yourself up and move on?
But, Bria, at the same time, I think closure is important.
And I
think it helps with the healing process.
I think
you need to confront. A lot of times, it's easy to block and just pretend like it didn't happen or, you know, just abruptly cut the person out of your life. But that's not dealing with it. And a lot of times we need to kind of feel an emotion and confront it and deal with it to accept it.
But the thing is, you don't need conversation with that person to deal with it.
But in her base case, I think it was important, even if he looked unmoved and didn't really kind of look stoic at some points. I think that it was important for him to see how much he hurt her, even if you're not getting the response
but that doesn't have anything to do with you healing yourself.
Okay, I can see what
you're saying. You know what I'm saying? How he feels about the situation? Well, just in my case, how he felt about it was irrelevant. You were the dog. You did the dirt. You know what I'm saying? I don't care whether or not you feel sorry about it. If you don't feel sorry, that's an issue that you have going on. I know you should feel sorry. And I know you should be apologetic. But it's not my job to drag that out of you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm at the point that I was at. I was like, I'm tired of dealing with you.
Right.
You know, and I felt like that's how she should be. I was talking to Amber about it, and I said, you know what? Clearly, these girls at Spelman got something else going on. Because, ho, why are you not out trying to make money? Why are you even interested in sitting down with him? Why?
You know, it's,
don't they have day jobs?
You know, well, I guess they got paid to do this segment because, you know, Morgan knows that girl. Uh-huh. So we were having this conversation when we were, you know,
did she get
drinks.
Paid?
Yeah, they were paid. They got paid to do this segment. But I thought it was kind of interesting. Maybe there is a healthy aspect to this. I think I would have to disagree. I think there's a healthy aspect to this when you're talking things out and getting that closure. Maybe that's what some people need.
Maybe.
To move on, to finally move on. We don't, you know, we don't know the full story, but maybe this is the first time she's confronting him and had all these feelings and never said anything. And I'm thinking about a lot of things that ended badly. And now that I'm in a different space, a conversation could have helped me deal with it a little better. Even if the conversation didn't go the way I wanted it to go or didn't, like, evoke certain emotions out of the other person, maybe just talking about it and getting that closure, like, here's how I feel, this is how you feel, now I think I can just pick up and keep moving.
I don't know.
You know, try not to end on, like, a bad note. Like, because I think cutting someone out, like, can be so sour, you know, because you don't really deal with it.
I mean, it took me a while to deal with it.
Right.
But it was a big hurt, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But, and especially if the person didn't change,
There's
no need for me to rehash all of that with you and just remind myself of all the reasons why I was crying, why I was sad, why I was, when I could just glow up and glow on to better things in life. And that worked for me, you know?
I mean, I think about all the times I've cut a dude out, and it, for me, I think just in my particular situation, it was definitely out of immaturity.
Mm-hmm.
And there could have been a conversation there. Mm-hmm. I just was like, oh, whatever.
And then especially, I think the other thing that I probably should have mentioned was, like, there was no intention on his part of admitting any wrongdoing.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, okay, you're not... No? Okay. So why are we talking?
I guess it depends on the type of relationship.
Yeah, it depends on the situation.
Yeah, it depends.
She looks sad and...
No, she looks sad. Like, I was tearing up.
She looks sad from the beginning to the end. And that's where, like, my questions came from. Like, okay, so what did you gain from this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, are you better? Like, are you not? I just don't understand. It just looked like you just reminded yourself of all the reasons why.
Look, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, this whole video and then the internet response.
Look. Black people are so damn quick with the memes. Before, look, every single meme that I saw was roasting this young man.
Right, right.
To the point where Morgan said he blocked his Twitter and blocked his Instagram. Yes, everybody was sending him messages. And
that's
someone
terrible.
Said they wanted to chop him.
Not chop him. Did you see that one it was like in response to his comment that said, she asked him, you know, how many times did you cheat on me? And he was like, I wasn't counting.
Nigga.
And then somebody put the meme, you know, with the finger up to his face, and they said, if you don't count, then it don't count. Like,
look.
I hate all of it.
Wait, black Twitter's so damn quick with the memes. But I think... I don't know. I don't think love just doesn't have that much of a grip on me. I can't say that I've been in that particular situation because I've never let disrespect get that intense.
She is silly.
I'll
get out for this.
Look, I even think that you about to, like, act the ass. I'll show you I'm a bigger ass. Not a crack. Not a cheek, but a whole ass. I'll show you I'm a bigger fool than you.
I'll be like,
so that's bye-bye. You know, I think I'm kind of baffled. But, you know, you're in college, and I also went to all-girls school, so I didn't really have to deal with fine men all the time. But when I did, I don't know. The disrespect just never got that intense, and
right.
I would never let it.
Right.
I mean, my self-esteem just ain't that low. Like, I just would never let it. Like, anyways, but moving on.
Let's take a quick break. Give a shout out to our sponsors.
Oh, wait, we don't have any. Stop doing that.
So I guess we'll just continue on.
Because
I
thought you really had something to say. Okay, so Cash Me Outside.
Nope.
Look, Danielle Bregoli.
Nope.
Now, this girl
Don't
is completely out of control. No, she's out of control. So, She's coming out of what looks like a white Nissan. Uh-huh. There are cameras everywhere. Her mama is smiling. Like, her mama really thinks that they are on.
So, who was the woman that she was on Dr. Phil with?
That was her mama, girl.
Because the mom that I saw didn't look anything like
No, that. She has a, she has that haircut.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, she seems that's like her she mom. Has she just has a on blonde. Dr. Phil. Look, her mom, when they jumped out the car, she was smiling, and one of the... This was TMZ that posted uh-huh. this. One of the reporters were like, you know, Danielle, are you concerned about that pending lawsuit from Champion? So I don't know if you saw, but she used the Champion logo uh-huh. and she renamed it.
As a C in Cash Me Outside. Cash Me Outside.
Uh-huh. Champion said, no, the fuck you won't. So they're suing her, and she responds after, you know, the reporter asks her. She goes, fuck Champion, I'll be uh-huh. Champion. And everything this young woman says is laced with profanity. She can't construct a sentence without just swearing and referencing the streets. And they said that, wait, they asked her a question about, she said, they asked her a question. They're like, oh, are you going to go Hollywood? And she goes, no, I'm going to go Hollywood.
Excuse me?
Yes, girl. She's just, I don't know. I think it's getting annoying now because do you kind of think she's appropriating Black culture a little bit? But getting popping off of it, though.
Okay, this is the thing.
Because if she was Black, she would have been called ghetto. I have not heard anyone call her ghetto yet.
I don't know that she is... I mean, well, okay, let me take that back. I think she is appropriating culture. I don't think she's smart enough to know that she's appropriating culture. Mm-hmm. I think she's just emulating something that she probably saw on YouTube.
Oh, God.
And
No, she really be in the streets, though, Bria. She says she's been in jail.
I feel like appropriation takes a certain level of intelligence, and she doesn't have a level of intelligence that I would think would.
I just think that she's low-key famous, though.
She's low-key
famous because Dr. Phil invited her right back on.
I told you. Dr. Phil broke it down for us. She is not famous.
She's infamous.
Okay.
He is so damn shady. But like they say, the best shade throws itself. But
I feel like all he does is kind of sit there with the blank stare. Like the producers made me bring you.
It made me because it wasn't me.
It wasn't gonna happen.
It wasn't me. Okay, I'm tired of talking about her because
one more thing. I just want to give a super special shout out to all my Black girls because they out here trying to be you, and that's all I'm gonna say about Catch Me Outside. Look. I don't even know her name. How Jessica, about that? What's her name? Giovanni?
Nope, we're moving right along. Okay, so the Grammys, I did not watch, but I thought it was really, really dope that Chance got, you know, best rap album, best rap performance, and best new artist being unsigned. This nigga is not on anybody's label. He does not have a deal with anybody, and I just think that's so dope because Chance is like...
Wasn't it for Coloring Book?
Yeah, which was an amazing album. I also want to point out that I don't know if you listen to Soulection, but for the people who do listen to Soulection, Joe Kane was talking about earlier Kanye, and mm-hmm. Chance always references, you know, Kanye in a lot of his work, and he mentioned how in Kanye's early work there was a lot of gospel themes, mm-hmm. even in the drums, like in the music, in his mixes, mm-hmm. and that's what Chance is recreating. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, you know, everyone feels kind of up and down about Kanye, mm-hmm. depending on whether or not the sun is out. And they were almost comparing him to what Kanye used to be. I think that's dope.
Let me tell you, this is so interesting that you brought that up. So today I was watching The Real. I missed the first couple minutes of class because I stayed home to watch The Real because my auntie Cece was going to be on there.
Cece Wine?
Yeah. Yeah, so it's on my Snapchat if you want to see it. But so she was on it, and they asked her a question. They were like, you know, how do you feel about critics, mostly from the Christian community, who say that gospel is stepping too far outside of its lane? Mm. And I think she gave a really beautiful, eloquent response when she said that if you listen to any type of, you know, any genre of music, mm-hmm. you will see that there is gospel everywhere. Mm. There is gospel in every genre. It's not that we're stepping outside of our bounds. Mm. It's the message of Jesus is pervasive.
And it can come in many forms, too.
Exactly.
She will be the one to put it so eloquently and so gracefully.
So when you said that, gospel is not just Shirley Caesar. Right. It's so much more. You know what I'm saying?
I thought you were going to say Kim Burrell.
No.
I thought you were going to say Kim Burrell.
Can we talk about her next episode?
Okay. I just have my thoughts about that. Yeah, so, okay, that's dope. And I was just thinking about Chance and what he brings to music, and he actually brings what I wish Kanye would continue doing, but almost better.
Yeah.
And I think that he got the reward for all of his work. Mm-hmm. And I like that. I like seeing the underdog, you know, I and the fact that he's being acknowledged.
Let me tell you how the underdog is the story of our lives.
Look.
Okay?
Look.
As far as the Grammys are concerned, I have one line that I would like to offer.
Is this about Beyonce?
Beyonce is the artist of my life.
Did you see Adele standing for her?
Did you see her?
Look.
Girl, we'll get into it.
Look, I just...
We'll get into it.
Yeah. I saw clips. I saw the important clips. Like, I saw Beyonce's performance. I saw Chance. I saw Blue Ivy coordinating the dancers. Did you see her?
I saw her.
And, like, how she had to, like, sit. Like, Jay-Z had to, like, pull her back at one point. Like, she just looked so adorable. And that damn ponytail.
Did you see her in the Prince outfit? Why does she slay, though? Why does she slay?
Blue Ivy, like, her whole outfit costs more than my rent.
Than my education, probably.
Okay. And she was just in it for a couple hours.
Right.
She's like, oh, I'm just here. My mom's on stage.
And
did you hear her asking for her iPad?
Yes.
She's amazing.
She's, okay.
She is amazing. I love Blue Ivy.
Blue Ivy is like the best little creature that is on the face of the planet right now.
Look. And they came.
Did you hear that the reason why Beyonce had to go and announce her pregnancy was because Blue Ivy was at school telling everybody?
Okay.
Ain't that about Blue?
Move on.
Ain't that about Blue?
Because who said that? These damn conspiracies. Just move on.
I had to mention that. I thought that was so funny.
I can't.
Can you see it?
How old is she even in school?
Yeah, she's in school.
Isn't she like 5?
So like kindergarten? You know, probably second grade, her a little smart, but
she's just everything that I want my daughter to be.
Right. Okay. Well, Nenea, it is time to offer up our
22 cents.
22 cents.
Look,
your two and my two.
All right. So we're talking about women, more particularly the alpha woman, and her being unable to love. And I read a couple articles.
I would like to also do a slash on there. Feminism.
Okay.
That's it.
So, I started looking up articles about black women and trying to see if there was... the article that I read, well, the one you sent me, was about... I think the author was a white woman, and she was talking about her mother and her journey. And I was thinking about black women and a lot of data that's presented about us in regards to... just hell, being unable to date.
Yeah.
And low marriage statistics, which I don't know if they're as accurate.
I think it's a hard thing to measure.
Yeah, so I think it's hard to measure. Just because I think women, on average, are getting married later.
Yeah.
You know? And then you have income, and there's a lot of factors as to why women aren't getting married earlier, and why women with certain, you know, levels of education are waiting or what have you. So the author mentions about, you know, strong women and her mom just always being combative and everything always being a fight. And she described her mom as the alpha wife. And I never heard that that term before outside of in the business place. So she was talking about that in terms of the relationship with her dad. And they gave this quote. They were like, every relationship requires a masculine and a feminine energy to thrive. And if women want to find peace with men, they must find their feminine. That's where the real power lies. So I was thinking to myself, I don't know how much I completely agree with this. And I hear this all the time that, you know, women kind of have to take the back seat sometimes if they want to find love. And if, you know, women are meant to be led and it's okay to be independent, but not too independent. But I think that times are changing. And I think that a lot of the things that the author mentioned in this article are almost outdated. Now, I don't think it's also fair to put all women in a box. I don't think that has to do with education level or that has to do with race or anything. I think it could be personalities.
Right.
Because I've seen women who are strong women and do have lead positions, but can still be a wife and still want their man to lead. Mm-hmm. So is it, I think a lot of the things that she mentioned were a little outdated and it could just be her mom's personality, mm-hmm. but there are some women who do get into the workforce and to get to where they want to get to, they have to be a bitch. Mm-hmm. They have to take on this role. Mm-hmm. So it's a double-edged sword. You can look at it many ways.
Yeah. The one thing that I do not like about the whole alpha, beta, I don't know if you've heard of the Delta female. Yeah, basically it's a combination of okay. the two. But the one thing that I don't like about those categories is it's like you can only be a part of one. Like you have to assign yourself can't cross or ascribe to one mentality.
Like, and I want to be true. A Venn diagram.
You know, exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
Can I be like, multiple things?
You can be overlap. You can be ambitious and still, you know,
yep.
And still, you know, like to clean up. You know what I'm saying? Like, the two are not mutually exclusive.
The point of what I was trying to say and mm-hmm. what I think you're trying to say is you could chew gum and walk at the same time.
Basically,
nigga,
it's
you
not.
Don't have to do one or the other.
Exactly.
And different, and women, depending on where they grew up, their socioeconomic status, their mm-hmm. their income, depending on so many things will...
There's so many things.
There's so many factors that go into
that go
how
into
people
a
are.
Personality.
Right.
Yeah, and you don't have to, and just hear me out, like, you don't have to be just one type of woman.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying? You could be Whitney. You could be every woman.
You could.
Okay.
Look, I didn't catch that at first.
You can. You can love lots of things. Mm-hmm. You can love to be lots of different, not schizophrenic, but... You know, you can like to watch football. You can like to be a boss in the workplace. You can like to love your kids. You can like to be a wife.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? All at the same time. I think that's the beauty in this millennial woman.
Right.
You know what I'm
right.
saying? I think we've come to a place now in our society where we can be more than one thing. And
right.
it's okay.
Right. And
we can balance.
I think that may be the piece the article was missing, which was that balance.
Yeah.
That maybe women are not finding balance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. The thought of marriage right now isn't because I feel like I'm an alpha woman. I feel like I'm not financially ready.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be the most selfish thing.
Yeah.
You know, I could ever do. And I couldn't provide the type of life that uh-huh. I would want my child to have.
Mm-hmm.
That has nothing. And I still have some educational goals I would like to meet.
Right.
But... I think it bothers me a little bit because, mm-hmm. and me and Kalonji were talking about this because he was saying, I like a confident woman,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like guys will say that, but sometimes they're like, well, as long as she's not too confident.
Exactly.
You know, and I want in a relationship, yes, I want my man to lead. And
right.
yes, you know, a guy who finds, a wife finds a good thing and all that's great,
agreed.
But I also want you to see me as your equal.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it's a lot of things.
And that's one of the things that people get tripped up on a lot biblically is the Bible doesn't say that a woman is less than the man.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You said that. Okay.
You tried to.
My God didn't say that, nigga. You
tried
did.
To impose that on me.
Okay.
He never said that. They're different. They bring different qualities.
Different things, but
different.
They're still, and it balances.
Yes.
And
one
they are.
One is not more important than the
look,
other.
Look, speak right into the mic,
okay?
Sis. Because that's the thing. And I think that
mm-hmm.
a lot of people don't understand
mm-hmm.
that. And we need to remember that. The Bible was written like when the dinosaurs
mm-hmm.
were around.
Not
so,
the dinosaurs. That's not true.
So a lot of these things are outdated.
Uh-huh.
And I don't ever believe that we have this new surge of alpha women.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that women just have more opportunities. Mm-hmm. I don't think things are changing.
You find alpha women in the Bible.
Hell yeah. I don't
okay.
think things are changing. I think things have always been this way. It's just we're getting people who have been marginalized
mm-hmm.
in society are getting more, you know, positions. We're getting more
yeah.
leeway. We're becoming more free. That's it.
Praise God.
Because nothing has changed. Like, someone the other day was like, oh, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, the marriage is different now and divorce is at an all-time high. No, the hell is not. Divorce is just more accessible now.
Right.
People, and
that's
idea
true.
Of divorce, hell, people have realized this is not working out and we gonna stop living
mm-hmm.
a miserable life and figure out when to move on.
Which is why I think that for me, I'm going to speak specifically for me because I know not everybody agrees with this type of mentality, but I would rather wait than choose wrong.
Listen.
Okay? I don't mind
listen.
Working on what I got going on.
Listen.
While, you know, I try to figure out what to do in terms of, like, my relationship status, which is being single is not a sin. Being single is not a curse.
Look.
I didn't do anything wrong to
right.
offend the Lord. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Right, right.
It's okay to want to wait
right.
for a stable, healthy, spiritually equal relationship.
Right. I agree. You know I agree. What I'm saying? I don't think, yeah, so pretty much I don't think things have necessarily changed. Uh-huh. I think that we're just becoming more free.
Exactly.
We're given more leadership opportunities. I think the only thing that's different is women are asked to do a lot more balancing, and some people are good at it and some people are not.
Right.
And I can't even really be mad at a woman that, like, we were talking about the MD-PhD thing the other day. Mm-hmm. And for those of you guys who are not really privy to the whole medical school lingo, that is when somebody in medical school, they do a couple years of research and mm-hmm. then finish up their MD. So they're both a researcher and a physician, called a physician scientist. Somebody made a comment and was like, I would never do MD-PhD because I don't ever want to not have time for my kids, and that's too much, and women shouldn't do that, and just saying all this stuff. And I think that you can do it all.
Bananas. Let me break it down for you. My mother, okay, she's a physician.
Mm-hmm.
All right. She graduated from college,
mm-hmm.
got pregnant with me, had me in her first year
of med school.
2 years in, had my brother. Okay. 2 years later, had my sister. And then 4 years later, had my youngest brother.
Right.
So she's got 4 kids traversing the difficulties of college, medical school, and residency. Right. Like,
it can be done.
It can be
done. It can be done. If you have a supportive partner.
Exactly.
Mind you, it can be done.
They were living in Nashville. My mom is from Fort Valley, Georgia, which is South Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And my father is from, he's originally from St. Louis, but he was living in West Tennessee. They were by themselves for the most part. Right. He was an electrical engineer, working on his degree. It's like, it could be done.
It can be done.
With both partners working.
I agree.
You know?
And so, that's the importance of finding the right partner. I think to an extent, women do have to let the guy lead, but it doesn't have to. It doesn't have to be like a whole.
You don't have to become a doormat for him to be a leader. And if you do, it's the wrong relationship.
Exactly.
So let me read this to you. I was doing a little bit of research on perceptions of women in the workplace, mm-hmm. right? Okay, and I came across this this article, How to Tell a Male Boss from a Female Boss.
Okay.
And it was a woman who was writing it, and she was just offering some of, from some of the experiences that she's had as an executive in the workplace, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to just read it and you tell me what you think, okay? So how to tell a male boss from a female boss. A male boss is aggressive. A female boss is pushy.
Okay.
He knows how to follow through. She doesn't know when to quit. He's ambitious. She's driven. He loses his temper occasionally. She can't control her emotions.
Just emotional.
He isn't afraid to say what he thinks. And she's got a big mouth. He's a man of action. She's impulsive. He controls his emotions. She's cold. He tells it like it is, and she's tactless.
You can't win to win.
So what do you think about that? Do you think it's accurate?
It's a double standard.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm. So when I had a male boss mm-hmm. and he would do certain things, I would almost let it slide. Mm-hmm. But when I had a female boss, I almost was like, why is she just so down my back? And I was working at Starbucks mm-hmm. and my boss was a male, and he was, definitely to the point and very serious and, kind of cracked the whip.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't see a problem with it. But when I started working at American Eagle and mm-hmm. I had a female boss, who was the same mm-hmm. as my male boss at Starbucks, I don't know why it bothered me so much.
Yeah.
There was no difference. They were both being bosses. They were doing what they were supposed to do, but it just bothered me so much. So mm-hmm. I sometimes have to check my own bias.
Yeah.
But, I'm young.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, I don't know anything.
Right.
But I have to check my own bias now and make sure that I'm being fair.
Absolutely.
And realizing how much harder it is for women to take leadership mm-hmm. positions, because you're faced with a lot of, bias. You're faced with a lot of, stereotypes, mm-hmm. and you can't win the win sometimes.
Right. And I think as a woman, we should be especially more sympathetic.
Yeah.
When we do have superiors who are females, understanding what it probably was like for them to get there, what they had to go through, to even get in that position of power.
Right.
You know, so I just thought that was, you know, something that was really, really interesting. And I think for the most part, I agree.
Yeah.
You know, I think that there is.
There's definitely a double standard. Definitely. Like, women can't win to win.
Right.
So.
Right. I mean, it's crazy. So did you know that, I think it was like over the last 2 years that the wage gap for, I'm going to say specifically for white women, because we know it's not true for any other race, mm-hmm. was between 15 to 20%. So like
less than.
Yeah. So for every dollar that a white man would make, a white woman would make 75%.
So didn't they say that that was based off experience and maternity leave, though?
I don't know.
Because there's been so much controversy over mm-hmm. the wage gap, but I mean, those numbers don't sound too far off.
They don't. And then for black women, it's even worse. They make 60 cents on the white man's dollar. Look. And then Hispanic women, you want to guess how much they make?
How much?
55 cents. So essentially, Hispanic women's time is worth literally half of what a white man would put in at work. And then, okay, so another interesting statistic that I found.
I remember the last time I mm-hmm. read that, it was 70 cents to a dollar.
Yeah.
So, I look.
And good for the white women. It's increased a little bit.
Right.
But over the, like, span of a 40-year career,
mm-hmm.
women, Hispanic women, who they have the biggest deficit, end up losing out on over $1 million.
So, I'm glad you brought this up, because I mm-hmm. was listening to this, I listened to Adam Ruins Everything mm-hmm. on YouTube, which mm-hmm. I think people should go, not while I watch and listen, not which I think people should go watch. And he talked about why it's important for coworkers to say how much they make. Mm-hmm. And he said that a lot of the times we don't say how much we make in the office or the workplace because we're thinking we don't want to piss off like our coworker just in case. But he says that you're more likely to get mad at the company, not mm-hmm. the other person.
Mm.
And it's important because then like that, you know, the wage gap and people not earning enough would decrease. People right. could confront.
That's a really, really
powerful. And I never thought about that. I don't know why I can't find my words.
Well, that's because our granny said, don't talk about how much you...
And he said, it's actually important because you're more likely to get... Because I'm thinking about it. If I ask my coworker how much they uh-huh. make and they make more than me, I want to be mad at them. I'm like, what? I'd be mad at the corporation or whoever I work for. Why am I not making the same thing? Especially if we have the same credentials, we're at the same, mm-hmm. you know, level.
Mm-hmm.
So he said it's important because then you can actually bring it up and mm-hmm. More issues would be resolved in terms mm-hmm. of the whole wage thing. So I thought that was pretty interesting. So I wonder, you just brought something up about culture. Like mm-hmm. we don't talk about how much we make. So
exactly.
I think it just still becomes a cycle.
It definitely does. And I think it's important like to be clear on the fact that, like, when we as women who are minorities are fighting for wage gap causes, we're not fighting for the same things mm-hmm. that white women are fighting for.
Right.
Like, it's just not the same. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Like, our race adds another dimension to the discrimination.
It's the intersectionality.
Yes, exactly.
I'm trying to tell y'all. I'm trying to tell you, actually.
Tell me how you feel about this, okay? So, I just wrote down this little thing so I started to rant a little bit in my notes for the podcast today. Uh-huh. So, I said, the obligation that I feel to fight for equality as an African-American person, I legit wrote this down, let me step up to the mic for the folks tying their shoes in the ticket line.
You're annoying. You're annoying.
Will always come before my obligation to fight for quote-unquote women's rights. History has taught me what's important to white women, and it's for darn sure not equality for my black behind.
Now, I think that would be a whole nother segment for another episode, because we can definitely talk about intersectionality and what that means, because you have the women's because the women's march just uh-huh. happened like a couple weeks
Absolutely.
ago, and we have uh-huh. a lot of people who are saying, well, that wasn't for black women.
It wasn't,
you know, so it what mm-hmm. do we fight for first? We are women, we are black. Mm-hmm. You know, so do we have to choose? Do we have to, can we do both? I think sometimes we mm-hmm. struggle with that. So that's actually really interesting that you bring that up, because a lot of people are saying, well, you know, you have to just band together. together mm-hmm. because we're women, but a lot of Black and Hispanic women and other women of mm-hmm. color were like, but a lot of times when they're talking about feminism, it's mm-hmm. not including
women in color. It focuses on white women. It focuses right. on the women who are privileged in every area
right.
of their lives, except for that one fact, factor, yeah. Which is being a woman. They're like, that's their cause. But right. in every
okay.
You know, they live perfectly charmed lives.
Right.
And that's just not the case, you know. Right. There was another article that I read that says, for so long, racial and sexual discrimination have been defined by white women and Black men. And as long as our experiences directly coincide with their experiences, are being Black people women, you know, people get it.
And it's making me think of Anita Hill and uh-huh. how much that whole story pissed me the fuck mm-hmm. off. And I was so young when that thing happened. But just how they tried to make it seem like her story wasn't mm-hmm. even, you know. I think, you know, a lot of it had to do with because she was Black. Like, nobody yeah. was trying to hear it. But mm-hmm. she took it to the court.
Yeah.
She was like, no, like, we going to deal with this nigga. Like, and they're like, mm-hmm. you're trying to bring a Black man down. But I hate to say it. If she was white, I think the outcome mm-hmm. would have been different. I think she would have been heard differently. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to our history of Black men being seen as threats mm-hmm. to white women.
And then conversely, I think that another really, really good example that's, like, super recent and mm. relevant, I think, is I know you've heard Don't Touch My Hair, Solange.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know how people always, it was a meme on Instagram, uh-huh. not necessarily the song, but just the concept of, like, not touching a Black woman's hair.
Yeah.
You know, it was a joke, haha, it's so funny, but it's like, because you guys don't understand where we're coming from, mm-hmm. don't automatically give yourself the authority to come into my space, to come and touch my person.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And even further than that, I don't know if you were aware of this, but like during the times of slavery, white mistresses would force the female slaves to cut their hair to make right. them seem less attractive or make them be less attractive.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
okay.
saying?
So yeah, I think I've heard that before.
Get your hands out of my hair.
Not banging on this table.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's so, but it's just like, Black women are almost taken as a joke. You know what I'm saying?
Look,
you gotta pick one. You can't be Black or be a woman.
Look,
you know what I'm saying? And be a woman. You have to choose. But we have our own sect. We have our own cult of, you know, of issues that we're dealing with mm-hmm. that are specific to us. And just because they're specific to us does not make them any less valid.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. And you're not going to be able to shut me up. I'm sorry.
Speak out, sister.
I hate that for you.
Speak out, sister. Well, you took it away with this one. I was like trying to find my words. I was like, well, you took it away. I agree. I completely agree. I just want to touch on one last thing. Uh-huh. I did mention that I was thinking about the differences between, you know, the Black woman and the white woman mm-hmm. in terms of the whole alpha wife mm-hmm. conversation. And I was thinking a lot of the times when they're having that conversation, they mm-hmm. talk about single mom homes. And I was just wondering, a lot of Black boys and girls that did grow up in that home, I don't think their mom had a choice but to balance everything.
Yeah.
So that's another thing. We have this problem. I don't want to say it's just in our community, but if you grew up in that single parent home, which I did, my mom had to do everything. It's not because she had a choice, you know?
Where was the food gonna
because come where out? Was the food? Who was going to pay the light bill?
Yeah.
Who was going to pay the water bill?
Yep.
Who was going to sign the permission slips?
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to give me money for the Scholastic Book Fair?
Come on.
So,
I know you was in attendance every
look. Semester. So that's another aspect. Sometimes in some families, women don't have the choice but to be everything.
Yeah.
And I wish they would have touched on that. But we got to move on.
All right.
Okay, so
I'm going to save my Beyonce stan for another episode.
Will you?
Yeah.
I'll look at you.
I don't mind. I don't
know. All right, the Blacklist. So we will be showcasing some Black businesses that we have either tried or are planning to try and want you guys to check out. So Bell Butters, I've used their peppermint body butter, and mm-hmm. it's amazing. Their website is www.bellbutters.com. Mm-hmm. I actually heard about them through Hey Friend Hey on her Instagram, mm-hmm. and I ordered from them, and I absolutely loved it. And it's all natural ingredients, handmade whipped premium butter, so you guys should definitely check it out. And that, again, is www.bellbutters.com, and Bell is spelled B-E-L-L-E.
I feel like you're so incredibly eloquent because you are.
You think so?
Yep, I do. Because I was going to go the frick off for my stand, but okay. you want me to go ahead?
You can go.
You done with Bell Butters?
Yeah, I'm done. Are you about to showcase your? Are you adding to the blacklist?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So my awesome addition to the blacklist for the week is Keisha Kaur Cosmetics.
I've heard of that. I saw her on Instagram.
Absolutely.
Promoting that.
If you've never heard of Keisha Kaur, she is the
stepmom.
Fiance of Gucci Maximus of East Atlanta.
My stepmom.
Okay. You get on Instagram right now, and I think his name is, what is it, LaFleur?
Yeah, LaFleur, like 770 or something. Or 718.
Something.
Nope, that's Brooklyn. I think it has a number in it. That's all I know.
Okay, LaFleur, LaFLARE 1017.
Yeah, and that's
then,
what it was.
Her Instagram is just Keisha Kaur, and that's Keisha with a Y, K-E-Y. Shea Kaur. Mm-hmm. Google it. It'll come up. I promise you. Make sure you go on there and scroll down and look at her engagement ring. I think it's, what, 25 carats? 25? Awesome.
More carats than I have. I'll tell you that much.
That's more carats than I eat in a salad in a year, honey.
Look.
Okay. No.
Look. That thing was gleaming.
Girl, gleaming.
You, like, you had to, like, put the light down on your iPhone because that shit was gleaming.
It was so bright.
So bright. Because who could handle a light that
bright? Listen, shine on, baby, shine on. So, I am featuring her cashmere matte liquid lipstick collection. I have the color ruby, and
did you use it?
Absolutely.
Did you like it?
I love it. Okay, so the quality is amazing.
You see, and that's kind of why I've always been apprehensive about the, you know, celebrities or the Instagram people doing the whole.
She put a foot in this, honey.
Okay,
the lipstick that I use is $17.99, but that's how much I'm paying at MAC anyway. So
and might as well just support a black business.
Might as well support an amazing black woman. I know everybody has their own personal opinions on Miss Kaur. Keep them to yourself. I don't care. Don't bring them over here 22-6 because I'm going to read you like...
Okay, keep reading, Bria.
Okay. The color is so pigmented. She's a black woman, so of course these things look great on black women. It stays on all day. You can go on her Instagram page, check it out for yourself.
Okay.
She always has on her lipsticks. She has this, another brand that I like. It's called the Glitz Stick, and it's just like super shiny, glittery, whatever. I have friends. I'm not going to mention no names. I was going to mention a name there, but I'm not going to do it no more.
Okay.
Who pay $65 for Kylie lip kits, okay? But won't spend a dime for my girl Keisha. So this one is for you.
The fact that Kylie lip kit costs anything over $6 bothers me.
It bothers me.
$65 for what?
Yes, exactly. And I'm personally just tired of people acting like we don't have options. We do have options.
I think it's just, and that's what this platform is for. Uh-huh. Like, you know, showcasing them. You know how I feel about black businesses.
Absolutely. We have options, and KR Cosmetics happens to be one of my fave. Check it out. If you're going to spend the money, go and give it to her.
Yeah, invest it back in our community.
Exactly. I mean, it's not really going to our community. It's probably going to her fabulous house.
Yeah, yeah. I just said it because it sounded good.
Okay, yeah, to her
I just said it because it sounded good.
But she's black and she's not Kylie. How about that?
All right, so how are you going to close out, Bria?
Okay,
you
so
have
guys,
something for us.
I do.
Let me sit back.
Sit back. Sit on back.
Let me sit back.
So I have a new segment that I'd like to add to the show, if you don't mind, kind of to compliment your stan.
Okay.
So I'm just going to do like a little quote.
Mm-hmm.
Smash.
You know, I hate spoken words. So.
I know you
so did. I hope this isn't spoken word, because I hate spoken words.
I know
words.
You hate it. That's why I added it. So this week, because it is Black History Month, I'm going with the Black History theme.
Okay.
And so this quote is brought to you by two super awesome human beings, Solange Knowles, who I go up for any mm-hmm. day, and Langston Hughes, who I promise to learn more about.
Okay.
So here we go. It is the duty of the younger Negro artist to change...
Just the fact that she said Negro, it's amazing.
Negro artist to change through the force of his art that old whispering, I want to be white, hidden in the aspirations of his people. Watch Black people walk. Watch us move. Watch us overcome. Listen to our voices, the sway, the resilience, the innovation. The raw, unfiltered, and untouched soul we have cannot be touched. Why should I be white? I am a Negro and beautiful.
Mm. You know, when you said that, I was thinking about Obama. You know, when he first, you know, was going to in a convention in 2008. Mm-hmm. They're like, look at that boy. That boy's smooth.
Sharp.
Look at the way he's walking. Honey. So that's all I was thinking about.
That
but
boy's sharp.
I mean.
And also, just in case you guys didn't know and want to buy me t-shirts or like mugs, resilience is my favorite word. It's literally so beautiful. The meaning, the way it's spelled. The way it sounds, I love resilience. Okay, so yeah. And also, just another quick shout out. If you have not heard A Seat at the Table, it's been out for a while now. Do better. Elevate your life.
Yeah. There's no excuse.
There's no
excuse for anybody not who hasn't heard Seat at the Table.
Yeah. So.
Thank you.
That's what I got.
Thank you for sharing that, Bria. That was amazing.
I'm glad you like
it. And timely.
All right, guys.
All right, so this is the end of our episode, and
we'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week.
Get ready.
Glad y'all showed up.
Glad y'all showed up. Unlike some of our professors.
Okay.
Bye. All right.